السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه، ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، وهل جزاء الإحسان إلا الإحسان، فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أنا زعيم ببيت في أعلى الجنة لمن حسن خلقه، كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise and all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's allowed us together on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah in the greatest places in the sight of Allah, and that is the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of seeing many more Jumu'ahs. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating many more Jumu'ahs. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that the last day of our life is the day of Jumu'ah. We are approaching very quickly the month of Ramadan. And as the month of Ramadan is approaching, there are certain things that an intelligent person will do to receive that month in such a condition that the person is ready for the month of Ramadan. It's like a marathon runner, a person that is preparing to run the comrades marathon. If he just leaves it, the training for the last 2 days or last 3 days, or if he just decides to run that marathon without any training, we know what will be the outcome of that person who runs the marathon. But a person that prepares well in advance, he makes all the necessary preparations, he's careful and he watches his diet, he does whatever a good runner needs to do, then it becomes very easy for that person now to go through the process of running a marathon. So similarly is the month of Ramadan that is approaching. If we don't correct and we don't take the necessary steps now to have a smooth, seamless transition into the month of Ramadan, suddenly we'll find ourselves in a month and we will be battling to cope with the month of Ramadan as far as our a'mal is concerned. We may be able to fast, we may be able to read the Taraweeh Salah, but the extras that are required of the month of Ramadan, we'll find ourselves too tired, or we'll find ourselves unprepared because we didn't make the preparation before the month of Ramadan. So from amongst the preparations of the month of Ramadan, a person should bring in at least these three actions. So now here in this talk, inshallah, we'll speak about actions that a person can bring in his life to prepare himself for the month of Ramadan. Not specific a'mal, but actions that a person can bring in his life. So when the month of Ramadan comes, then this person receives the month already with the right mindset. So the first action, the first thing a person should bring in his life, and this doesn't only help a person for the month of Ramadan, it also assists the person in having a smooth life and a smooth transition as far as moving from this dunya into the akhirat is concerned. So the first thing a person, easy way to remember it is MRI. Famous scan that the doctors normally take, a very expensive scan also, is called an MRI scan. So the first thing we should try and bring into our lives is muhabbat, love. And we should be looking for the avenues of love. That how can we create love? How can we be an embodiment of love? Ulama explained that the thing that is missing today in many relationships between parents and children, between spouses, between partners, between workers and employers, between people in general with their neighbors, between friends, is this concept of love and this concept of muhabbat. That how can I embrace muhabbat? How can I create muhabbat? How can I be a means of muhabbat? Muhabbat is such a thing that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls out in the heavens. He announces to Jibreel that, oh Jibreel, I love such and such a person. You also love such and such a person. Then Jibreel alayhi salam announces to the other malaika that Allah loves such and such a person. You also love such and such a person. Until that acceptance of this person comes down, all the way down to earth, and the people also start loving this person. Ulama take out one point from here, is that love and that popularity that a person that comes from top to the bottom, this is a sign of acceptance, not that popularity and fame that a person gets bottom upwards. In other words, he's popular amongst the people, but amongst the awliya, amongst the malaika, his actions in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not acceptable. This is not true love, and this is not true popularity. The moment that person loses that position that he has, automatically his popularity goes, and the love for people, the love that people have in their heart for him also goes. But that love that's coming from the top, that love is eternal love. Why is it coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Not too long ago, there was a family member that had passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr wa nur, elevate his status. So he had one quality. He wasn't a very educated person. He wasn't a very intelligent person. In fact, he would tell us that I don't even know how to read Quran. I don't even know how to read Quran. But he had some qualities in him that Allah Pak had created love in people's hearts around for that person. Although he was such a simple person in his ways and his styles, but one thing he would do is he would always look out, he would always go and visit those people that generally people don't visit. A person is a widow in the family, an old lady staying alone. People don't take out time generally to go visit this person. She's old, she may need some assistance, she may need some help. Sometimes they just need an ear to listen to them, or sometimes they just need our company. So the last day or the last night of his life, he went to visit such a family person, old woman. He took some fruits and he went to see her. They're so excited that you actually brought fruits and you came to see me. And imagine, this is not a small thing. It is a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam: "Man aada maridan aw zara akhallahu fillah." That person that goes and visits a sick person, or he visits his brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa taala, nada munadin bi an tibta wa taba mamshak wa tabawwa'ta min al jannati manzilan. That your moving is beloved in the sight of Allah, it's good. Your walking in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good. You have done good and you have built for yourself a palace in Jannah. What, you just went to visit somebody for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he visited one old lady, he visited another person who was very sickly. And then very shortly after that, in another hadith it comes, that person who visits a sick person in the morning, the malaika, 70,000 angels make dua, maghfirat for that person right up till the evening. And if he visits a sick person in the evening, the dua, 70,000 malaika make dua maghfirat for that person until the morning. So imagine visiting people, and very shortly after that he had passed away, these people were so touched. One was a 90-year-old woman and one was a sick person, that they said that we couldn't stay back and not attend this person's janazah. We couldn't not be there at the funeral home. When this person had showed us so much love, a few moments before he could pass away, he thought of us. How can we not think of him? So this is when a person looks for avenues of increasing muhabbat, that how we can increase muhabbat, he'll find, and every person will find in their family, there is such a person that they can show some love, some kindness. And we don't know the du'as of these people, how far they will take us. That widow that is there in some flat or in some home, staying there, and we go and show some muhabbat, some love, and some words of kindness and encouragement. That sick person or that ailing person, we go and show some time, take out some time. Some person is in depression, some person is in a problem, just go and listen to their problem. We don't know how far their du'as can take us. So the first thing that we should bring in our life is this quality of muhabbat. The next thing that we should bring in our life is respect. This respect for our deeni elders. In other words, somebody who taught us anything as far as deen is concerned. We may have been small, one appa would have taught us how to read alif, ba, ta, tha. Some ustad, some haji sahab may have taught us certain du'as, how to perform our salah, how to perform wuzu. It doesn't matter who that person was, they are our deeni elders. And when it comes to deeni elders, the person can even be younger than us, but as far as deen is concerned, this person is elder than me. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu say that man allamani harfan fa ana abduhu. That person that taught me one letter means like a alif, ba, ta, tha, one letter, I am his slave, that I am so indebted to this person that he has taught me something. Ask ourselves, how many people have taught us so many things? Do we give them that respect that they deserve? So this is the respect for our deeni elders. The next respect we have to have is the respect between spouses. And this respect between spouses, unfortunately, is something that is lacking. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he would often say that home wherein there is muhabbat between husband and wife, there is genuine love between husband and wife, with the itaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that home is jannat on earth. That home is jannat on earth. But you can take Mr. World and Mr. World can get married to Mrs. World, have all the outward luxuries of this world, but if there's no love between the spouses, that home actually is Jahannam on earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it such, it is in the fitrat of a woman that she will talk something, she will say something, she will answer. An intelligent person at that moment will realize that the intelligent thing for me to do is keep quiet, or say something good, or bring about a smile on her face, but avert the situation rather than replying. It is said that الصبر على لسان المرأة مما يمتحن به الأولياء. that to make sabr upon the tongue of a woman is from among the tests that the awliya Allah went through. So if the awliya Allah went through this test, why should we feel sad? Why should we feel bad that we're being tested at some woman's tongue? We should actually be feel happy that, Allah, you are testing me with the test that you tested the awliya Allah. There's an incident of one pious person that he went to one buzrug. He had a dream that this buzrug had such a maqam that inda maq'adi sidqin inda maliki muqtadir. He had a maqam by where the high ranking malaika was. Such a high maqam he had. So he decided, let me go spend time with this buzrug. At least I can benefit from him. So when he went by this buzrug, he noticed that this buzrug's wife, you know, used to always taunt him and talk anyhow to him. She never really showed any respect to him. So one day he got upset. So his mizaj was such, he was like a Pathan mizaj. He got upset. He said, Hazrat, I can't take this anymore. You're such a big buzrug, and this woman is talking to you like that. What I will do is, I will undertake, if there's any mahar that is outstanding, I will pay that mahar. Get rid of this wife and get another wife that will talk to you properly, that will look after you properly. So now he tells this murid of his, he tells him, let me tell you something, let me give you some advice. He says, you know that dream that you had, that my maqam was such a high maqam. I didn't tell you all this while, but now that you are asking, now that you are saying, that maqam Allah Ta'ala has given me because of the sabr that I've been making on the words of my wife. Because of that words and that hard words she was using upon me, I'm not saying anything, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given me that maqam. So there is such a thing as women, they will say this is in the fitrat. Something on a little bit of a light-hearted side. There was one friend that had told me, he says, I got a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, my wife is whenever we have a disagreement. So then she tells me that I'm from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, immediately I put dead breaks. I don't say one word further. How can I argue with a woman that is from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? I put my ABS braking. I just stop. I don't say anything. He said, but recently in the December period, this woman or this couple is from out of town, maybe 200-300 kilometers away. So he's saying that this wife of mine, it was the December period, she had dressed up in a tight jeans, tight top. She had a makeup, she had a lipstick, open hair. She was like ready to go. And she's telling me, come, let's we go to Durban. I want to go to the souk. So he tells her, but aren't you from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So she replies and she tells him, yes, I am from the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but a very distant relative I am. So that's why I can dress up like this. So woman, Allah Pak has made it such, they've got their answers. An intelligent person at that time, he realized, I'd rather keep quiet and use the right opportunity to get the right, reaction from the woman. So the second thing we should have is this respect. Respect to dini elders and respect between spouses. The next thing ulama explain is that we need to bring ikhlas in our life. We need to bring genuineness in our life. The zamana is such that everyone wants to do something, but I must get something in return. Very few people are left that they'll do something, but only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't matter if nobody knows about it. If Allah Pak knows, that means everything. Because one day, remember, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forget what you do for Him. He, Allah Pak, does not need anything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers everything that a person does. And a person should think like this, when I'm doing something, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءُ وَلَا شُكُورًا. That I don't even need one jazakallah from you. I don't even need a reward from you. What I am doing, I'm doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah Pak accepts it, then this means everything. People nowadays are worried. People are all talking about this virus that is going around. And many people are getting depressed. One thing for us to remember, in every situation, a mu'min looks at the brighter side. We always shift our attention to the brighter side. The brighter side is the end result. Where are we going to? For the non-Muslims, there isn't the end. The end, the meaning, maut is the end. There isn't anything beyond that. For a Muslim, he gets very excited. He gets very happy when the talk of Jannat, when the talk of Akhirat, when the talk of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the company of awliya Allah, the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it just enhances the spirit. Why? Because this world actually is a very, very temporary world. This place is a mata'ul ghurur, is a place of deception. And the Akhirat, this is lahiya al-hayawan, ala inna dar al-akhirati lahiya al-hayawan. This is a real life. The real life is the life of Akhirat. In Thane Bhavan, in India, there was a student that had been afflicted with a sickness. So himself and another friend of his also had been afflicted with a sickness. So now when he was on his deathbed, the people around him, they're sitting and they're trying to give him some support, some kind of psychological support. So when they're giving him the support, he asks them, that what happened to my friend that also had the sickness? So they tried to pacify him. They said, no, he's all right. So he's telling them, no, that friend of mine is not all right. He has passed away. I can see him in front of me. And there's no need to pacify me because the malaikas have already told me, Allah takhafu wa la tahzanu wa abshiru bil jannati allati kuntum tu'adun. Don't fear, don't grieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving you glad, they're giving you glad tidings of Jannat. This Jannat that has been promised to you. So he's saying, I can see Allah Pak had made it such that he could actually make out the living from the dead, that there's no need to pacify me. Jannat is such a beautiful thing. So a Muslim is always looking as the positive side of everything. He doesn't go into a depression, he doesn't go in a sudden fix, into a sudden lock. Yes, a person has to be careful as what he does, but there's no such thing as depression. We look at it from the positive side. If we get news that around the world, the tickets for Hajj are being given out for free. People are being given tickets for Hajj. How happy a person will get to get that news. Here we are getting news that people are getting tickets of Shahadat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Mat'unu Shaheedun. That person that is afflicted by a plague and he passes away, he becomes a Shaheed. So can you imagine the tickets of Shahadat are being given? Why should a person go into depression? He should actually get happy that the Akhirat is there. There's so much for me. Sheikh Saadi rahmatullahi has mentioned that this is such a passage, maut is such a passage that every person has to cross. A person who is intelligent will worry that have I got the saman to cross this passage? Have I got the necessary goods to cross this passage? He's not interested in what vehicle he goes. Whether he goes with Toyota Corona, whether he goes with Toyota cancer, whether he goes with Toyota heart attack, whether he goes with Toyota lung failure, he goes with Toyota Camry, it doesn't matter which vehicle he uses. He's worried, have I got the saman? When my vehicle comes, can I load the saman and move? Or am I going to go empty-handed as far as this bridge is concerned to Akhirat? So that's where our focus has to be, is have we got the saman? Have we got this true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our heart? Or rather we are changing our focus away from the saman and we are focusing on what vehicle that is. What vehicle we're going to take? Our whole attention is going, is this vehicle we're going to take or that vehicle? That shouldn't be our priority. Priority is, have I got my saman ready? Ulama explained so beautifully that these are like the safar ki ganti, safar ki aza, the sounds of safar, safar ki awaz. Like, you know, when a person is traveling in a train, when you go to India and Pakistan, you'll see that just before the train can leave, then it gives a hoot. Pop, pop. So the people that are outside, they know quickly we must get in. Because if the train is about to take off, so ulama says that all these things that are happening around the world is an awaz, is giving a sound that the time is near, time is near. Prepare, do take some action. But us in our heedlessness, very often we are still worried about Premier League soccer, we worried about cricket, we worried about going to Disneyland, we worried about this holiday and that holiday. But rather we should be more interested is, have I prepared my saman for the Akhirat? So this is one aspect. Another aspect that we need to concern, this world, remember, after all, this world is like an example of a person that takes his family and he goes for a picnic. And they go to the picnic to the seashore and the children are enjoying themselves and they're building those sandcastles. And they're making the sandcastles so beautifully. They're taking time, that intricate work, that this is the bridges to the castle, and this is the top end of the castle, and this is the parking area of the castle, and these are the walls of the castle, this is the moat of the castle. So everything with a lot of precision these children are doing. And now when it comes time to go, the father says, chalo, chalo, let's go. And now the children say, look at our father, that he has just left us, he's not considerate. So much of time it took, so much of preparation went into building this castle, and he's just asking us to leave everything and go. This is exactly what maut does. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Maut brings with it haq, with reality. When that reality dawns, this whole world will feel like a dream. It will feel like that castle that was built. You just have to leave that castle and go. And what a person now takes with him is his a'mal. So therefore an intelligent person will be more interested in seeing what a'mal he has brought. So anyway, now as we are going into the month of Ramadan, how do we correct our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned? Gunas we are all committing, mistakes we are all committing. So here there are 4 R's. That if we bring these 4 R's in our life, inshallah, this is mentioned by Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, what I'm mentioning. I'm just making it easy by saying 4 R's so we remember it. So Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu says that to patch up this ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to rectify our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing we should do is whenever we make a mistake, feel remorse, first R. Feel sad that why did I have to disobey my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a great Allah that I've got, why should I make my Allah sad? The person feels very sad in his heart, he feels that remorse in his heart. The second R is there, that a person now, he makes a resolution that I'm never going to go back to this guna again. The sin that I committed, I'm never ever going to go back to it. He makes a firm azam, a firm resolution in his heart that I'm not going to go back to the sin again. Why do I want to spoil that ta'alluq that I have with my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The third R that a person does is he remedies the situation, he rectifies the situation. In other words, if this disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant that I have to go now pay those people that I owed money to, I go and pay them. I hurt somebody's feelings, I go and ask for a maaf. I disobeyed my parents, I go to them and I apologize. So a remedial action, or rectification takes place. This is the third R in correcting a person's ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth R is a person removes. It moves away. He removes all those gadgets that cause him to sin. He removes all that bad company that influenced him to sin. Or he removes from himself visiting those places that caused him and led him to make the guna. So he removes those gadgets, he removes that company, and he removes those places also from himself visiting there. I will not go back to these places. That was a place that led me to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why should I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A person in his dunya is here in his dunya to create and ensure that his ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect. I'll end off on the small poetry that a poet mentioned. So beautifully he describes what is the true love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, لَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. He said, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how nice it would be that you are happy with me despite everyone being unhappy with me. This is the height of happiness, the height of pleasure, that Allah, you are happy with me despite everyone being unhappy. What I'm doing it for you to make you happy. People around me are not happy. When people are happy with us, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy because we are getting the compliments of the people around us. We're getting the shabashi of the people around us. But sometimes to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a condition where people may look down, they may scorn upon the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They may scorn upon that action. They may scorn upon us. لَيْتَكَ تَرْضَى وَالْأَنَامُ غِضَابُ. Wallah, how nice it will be that you are happy whilst people are unhappy with me. وَلَيْتَكَ تَحْلُو وَالْحَيَاةُ مَرِيرَةٌ. Wallah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, how nice it will be if my connection with you is sweet despite life being bitter. Despite the effects of life being bitter, the things around me, everything are bitter, the conditions are bitter, but oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my condition with you is sweet. لَيْتَ الَّذِي بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ عَامِرُ وَبَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ الْعَالَمِينَ خَرَابُ. Oh Allah, how nice it would be if that connection between myself and yourself is populated, whilst my connection with the rest of the world is desolate. In other words, I have no connection with anybody else, oh Allah, but my connection with you is 100%. And that connection means, in other words, I'm not having a connection with everyone. It's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite people telling me what, they have broken up conditions, they have broken up relationship with me, oh Allah, but that connection between me and you is strong. And then he goes on to say, وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. Before that he says, إِذَا صَحَّ مِنْكَ الْوُدُّ فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if the true love from you is realized, the true love between myself and you, Allah, is realized, فَالْكُلُّ هَيِّنٌ. Everything is easy. Even a plague has to come, oh Allah, the plague will be easy. If Allah, difficult conditions come, those difficult conditions will be easy. Why? Because that love between myself and yourself, oh Allah, is realized. وَكُلُّ الَّذِي فَوْقَ التُّرَابِ تُرَابُ. After all, everything above the soil is nothing but soil itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of appreciating these moments that we got before the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the month of Rajab. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us in the month of Sha'ban. And may Allah Pak allow us to see the month of Ramadan. May Allah Pak take us into the month of Ramadan in such a condition that we have corrected our ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May He grant us a blessed month of Ramadan. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq also of turning towards Him in all conditions. And may He make it such that we are always positive and we are not people that become despondent and become negative. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا عَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.